BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here's Friday's Scott Mills Daily Podcast. Bear Grylls comes to see us to talk volunteering with the Scouts, being in the world with Barack Obama, and you lot try to top his amazing stories. Feliz Navidad Friday, cars a week till Christmas, and Dev on Real or No Real with a potentially embarrassing fact about Jamie Oliver.
Scott Mills,
BBC Radio 1.
Scott Mills here. Fiona's been on from Godalming saying, so Chelsea and Jose, after relationship transfer day, just so wrong, so rude, at the Christmas lunch, breaking all the rules. What penalty could we impose? It's true. Several people not observing it, mainly Chelsea.
Well, there's nothing we can really do about it, is there?
No, but I think we need to think this through for next year. What kind of penalty will there be if people do not observe relationship transfer deadline day? And I guess, the football club and Mourinho were kind of in a relationship there.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, maybe it's bad karma or something like that. I don't know.
Anyway, Fiona's just sowing some fairy light roses. Sounds kind of fiddly and quite boring. Hope you're all right. This is Scott on Radio 1.
Do you think today is a massive day of procrastination? People in offices and stuff just literally whiling away time.
Definitely. And I know, like we mentioned, Jack in Winchester, loads of people have already finished college and school. It's like a half day. Do you remember how excited you used to be when you used to finish that?
Oh, that was the best. And then me and my friends would get straight into a cottage of chicken.
Yes.
Which it was just like the thing that we did.
What a treat.
Oh, mate. So the best feeling.
If you're on half day today, hello. Maybe you're driving home for Christmas. Let us know. Let us know what you're up to today. Because I think a lot of people are at work and are a bit like, ugh. 81199, best way of getting hold of me at this stage. And now this. Yeah.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Just think these kids now will be 60 and embarrassed.
They'll be a lot older, won't they? I always find that last bit a bit unnecessary.
Why?
I don't know. It's like the song's finished and then that bit creeps up on you.
It's quite sweet.
Hmm.
Imagine if you're playing it out, then that would be a bit weird. I can't imagine the last time you played that in a club. Wizard.
Oi, Mills, there's loads of teachers who are breaking out. You know, like, obviously loads of people have finished school. There's loads of teachers as well who, on the very last day, seem to do staff room drinks.
Is that happening?
Who are listening, yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
I think they might pretend it's called teacher training. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Hi, if you're training today. Loads of people still at work. Quite a few people driving home for Christmas already. We've got Lauren driving home from Plymouth Uni to Sussex. Sam and Jess on the way to Cardiff after a half day at college. Party mode is definitely on. Best day ever. Work's finished for Christmas and it's a half day. I just love Christmas, says Megan. Loads of people on. And also Simon, who's on his way to his work Christmas do tonight and has got pre-Christmas party nerves. I get that, do you? When you just worry about what's going to happen.
That's the worst, yeah.
It's just a little bit of slight weird feeling in the stomach of is everything going to be okay?
It's proper FOGO, isn't it? Fear of going out.
It is, it really is.
The Scott Mills Daily.
We're getting so many texts today, Chris.
Yeah.
It feels like everyone is kind of on the wind down. Not everyone, but a lot of people.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's equally loads and loads of texts from people who are still working right up to Christmas Eve, who just want a bit of recognition as well, which is fair enough.
Hi to you. You're right about the staff room drinks. The wine is a flowing in Hull at Amy's Christmas drinks. Young teacher. Being a teacher's the best. On my way home, yes. Taking no work home. She says that's love from Miss Dean.
Miss Dean.
Hello, Miss Dean. Prosecco and buffet in the staff room is the law on the last day of term. I am a teacher as well. You're definitely right about the staff room drinks.
It's on.
Drinks are on now. Probably prinks and then heading somewhere else later on, like the pub or whatever.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning.
Track of the day.
Track of the day.
BBC.
Radio 1.
I once saw my English teacher when I was 17, 18. He'd got a bit excited at the staff drinks, obviously, on the last day before Christmas, and we all saw him in the pub later that night.
It's weird when you see your teacher.
It was so strange.
What were you doing in the pub?
Well, no one knew how to act around him. I was 18.
Okay,
I was
cool.
In sick form.
Yeah, it's weird. And you don't know what to say because, is that same level of respect still have to be there? Are you allowed to call him Dave?
It was a very, very strange one.
Really, really weird.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
Bear Grylls is here. Hello.
Nice to be with you. Happy Christmas.
And to you.
It's always my favourite place to come in December, Radio 1.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't know. I like it because we take the kids out, we bring the family, we come out, we go and do a little bit of shopping. We swing via here. So I got Huckleberry with me today.
On my lap. On your knee right now. Say hi.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, it's nice. I like it that you get a happy vibe from Radio 1.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Anyway, yes, Merry Christmas. Thank you very much for coming in today. We've actually been talking loads about volunteering and pledging Radio 1 listeners' time over the last 3 weeks. We've been doing this thing called 1 Million Hours, and we announced this morning on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show, after 18 days, our amazing audience have already pledged 95,000 hours of their time for people that are in need. So we're trying to get it to 100,000 hours by the end of today. And you can pledge your time by going to the Radio 1 website or on social media using the hashtag 1 million hours. The one is a number one. Now, Bear, obviously you are head scout, which always impresses me.
Well, I'm very proud.
Do they have to have like pictures of you up in every scout hut? Like the Queen?
No, I heard
they do.
Luckily for everyone, not. No. But yes, no, it's the greatest thing in my life. I love it. You know, we represent 500,000 incredible scouts in this country, some 40 million scouts around the world now, growing like never before, this worldwide force for good. Look at all of these conflict zones at the moment that want people out there. Always see these scout scarves. It's amazing. So very proud.
Now, you with the scouts are kind of mobilising them for support at the moment, aren't you? And what's it called?
Well, it's called A Million Hands. So we've got a million hours running with you guys. We've got a million hands, the scouts. And really, you know, at the heart of scouting is that promise you first say when you join the scouts. You put your hand up and you say, I promise that I will do my best and I'll be kind and helpful. And scouts, you know, want to make a difference. And so we asked young people, young scouts, what would you like to get involved in? And four big issues came up. And one was dementia, one was disability, mental health, and then clean water and sanitation. Right. And so this is really about getting out there, doing it, making a difference in your community, and scouts working with local charities to really reach out and, you know, change lives. And it's, you know, as I said, it's the heart of all scouts is helping people. So it's amillionhands.org.uk, but I'm very proud. There's lots of people doing a little. My dad used to say to me, you can get anything you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want. And that's the heart of volunteering. So well done, you guys. Well done, all the scouts out there making a difference.
Isn't it great how many young people are just up for doing something good?
Yeah.
With the Radio 1 campaign and also, by the sounds of it, with the scouts as well.
Yeah, it's huge. And like we've just had such a positive response from people, you know, because, you know, a lot of things on TV are asking for money. We're just really asking for your time and to be kind and to be generous, which is great. And we've had such a good response from people.
Like you say, it's not about raising money. It's about inspiring and changing lives. And the little stuff, you do enough of the little stuff well, you build a mountain.
Is it a hefty responsibility being in charge of the scouts? Do you feel like you command a small army?
I do, and I'm very proud of it. You know, it is. It's like this kind of militia, but for good.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. It's a band of warriors, and we all love a uniform. We all love that sense of purpose, that identity, and that pride. Great values, great ethos, built on friendships, being part of a family, respect for yourself, respect for others, and like I said, you know, giving, and that's a good thing. You know, if you give and you help people. You know, it's fun and it puts a smile on your face.
I find every time like we have you in here, I do actually walk away feeling quite inspired every time, which is good, right?
Well, likewise, the feeling is mutual.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Can I just say, I cannot believe that you've made a television show with the President of the United States of America. What? So they contacted you, right?
Yeah, when you first got the call. Did you believe it?
From the White House?
Of course, I thought it was a spoof. And
did
I had a list of about five people. I was convinced it was them ringing, you know. But the White House did reach out and they said, the President's a fan of the show. We do the series Running Wild. And would we take him on an adventure to Alaska? It aired last night on NBC. It airs Channel 4 Sunday night, 8 o'clock. And it's, I watched it with my family the other day, the final edit. And it was like, actually, I can't believe we did this, you know. And it was... Yeah. You know, we've done a lot of these shows with stars over the years and take some amazing people away. But this was obviously different. You know, normally it's, I always say, come on your own, no entourage. just trust us.
Can't really say that to Obama.
We had 4 helicopters in the air, 50 Secret Service snipers on all the mountains. You know, I was like mega nervous beforehand, but he was amazing. And you see a side of the president that you never see before. He was incredibly honest about his fears and his family and struggles and his aspirations and all of that stuff. And, you know, no president's ever done a show like this. So it was a huge privilege, definitely something I'll never forget. But I'm really proud of it, yeah.
Does it look on the TV like it's just you and him? Quite intimate.
Yeah, but there's nice sort of behind the scenes bit we film as well, where he's just kind of talking to me going, "Bear, you know, I'm serious. The bubble I live in is intense. You know, it's like, it's hard to
go." Oh, I can't wait
for
this.
You know, so those sort of bits are the great little, you know, moments.
Yeah, which you would never see.
The thing is, it's a great leveler, the Wild. You know, as you know, it's, you know, my dad used to say, everyone puts their trousers on one leg at a time. And it is true, whoever you are, even the president. And, you know, and you get out there and you start talking about life and your family and, you know, one of the reasons he wanted to do it, he said, you know, he's driving through this big climate change agenda that he's now pulled off, which is amazing, putting every country in the world together to do this. But he said, I want you to put my hands on the end of this glacier that's shrinking, because it's kind of ground zero for climate change, Alaska. So he actually wanted to put his hand, feel it, and see all of the kind of water pouring off it. And he says, I'm a great believer in science, but I want to see it. And it was actually a very kind of moving moment when we eventually got him up there. It was definitely one of those ones I'm not going to forget.
Yeah.
And we had so many special moments. You know, even at the end, we said a little prayer together, and it's kind of such an intimate thing to do. And I felt a bit awkward doing it, but I thought, well, here's a man who everyone's always taking from him. You know, they're always, oh, what are you going to do about Syria? What are you going to do? You know? And I thought, actually, at the end of the day, he's a family man. He's doing his best. He's family-centered. He's faith-led. He's a courageous guy doing his best, you know? And I wanted to do something that kind of filled up his tank rather than drained his tank. And it was, you know, those sort of bits were really, really special for me.
Mm. And how long did you spend with him?
Well, we had best part of the day, you know, and yeah.
So it wasn't an overnight job. You didn't have to sleep in a dead animal or anything.
Well, normally we do these overnight strips with these guys. And it's funny because invariably, the stars we take on Running Wild, they start off with masses of enthusiasm and, you know, it's slowly kind of, you know,
they get worn down.
Fatigue and the hunger and everything kicks in. And by the next day, they normally go, "Bear, this is amazing, but I'm beat. Where do we finish?" Yeah. But the president, obviously, he said, "Listen, I got a lot of work to do after this, but I'm super excited. I'm up for it. Let's go." So we had him, you know, during daylight times rather than overnight.
But when you watch your shows, what's amazing is you'll run past something and go like, "Right, I see something. I see use for that. I could eat that. I could do something with that." Do you have to second guess everything when you're with the president because you pass some manure or something like that? You can't be thinking.
You definitely can't eat that.
Well, food. The thing is, you can. And I did.
Wow.
You know, so I thought, you know what, I'm just going to treat him like a guy we're on this journey with. Yeah. So, you know, we talk about flatulence and berries that can help with your bad wind and if you can drink your own pee and why. And, you know, and you know, we have bear fur and we're climbing up and down things. And, you know, it's that thing is lavatory humour is a great leveller. You know, I've learned that. Whoever you are, again, you know.
I'd just be scared doing it with Obama.
I know. Well, the thing is, you know, we're there a bit of time and I was nervous. The first sort of half an hour, I was nervous. But once you're sort of there and you're helping each other up and down stuff and climbing through and you're in bear country as well. And I said, "Listen, you know, this is for real at this time of year. They're notoriously lacking in respect for rank. They don't care if you're the commander in chief. You know, we've got to be smart and get it right. Here's the bear spray. Hold on to my shirt tails. Let's go."
Oh.
And he's like, "Okay."
It's brilliant.
So yeah. Well, a little bit of lavatory humour never goes.
I'm so excited to see it.
Same.
And everyone in my family's so excited to see it. How did you leave it with him? Do you stay in touch or is it just something that
it's amazing,
you leave?
Because at the end he said, first of all, I got him to sign something for Shara, my wife. And the only thing I could find was a little Obama figurine of him in his underpants bottle opener.
What?
It was a bottle opener from the airport. And I thought, oh, God, I'm going to get... By this stage, we haven't quite a laugh yet. And he was laughing. He's going, "I must say this... this is a bit dated. I think the presidency's taken its toll since then." Yeah. But
I look much younger on this bottle opener.
Yeah. So I got him to he signed that, and then we, you know, I said, "Secret Service, over to you." You know, big hug, and off we went. I mean, one thing he said at the end, he said, "Please come and visit in the White House with the family." And I thought, oh, you know, he's just saying that. And then afterwards, his right hand person, who's kind of there for everything, looked him in the eye, grabbed me close, and went, 8 years, I've heard him say that.
three or four times, take him up on it. So, okay, okay.
So, oh, well, so we're going to do that date in.
We're going to do that in the spring sometime.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Bear Grylls is here on Radio 1 this afternoon. Hello.
Great to be here.
Thank you very much. You know when you're down the pub, inevitably, someone tells a story, and then that story leads on to another one from someone else, and so on and so on. The great thing is with you, Bear, you will always be able to top that story.
Because you've got so many amazing stories.
Amazing ones.
You're like the ultimate person to go to the pub with, I would say.
I think probably, and I know that you don't like to brag about it, but probably the best collection of stories of anyone we've had in this studio. So I've got some listeners here, and they've got some stories too, which they'll tell us. What I'd like you to do, though, is to story top them. I enjoy doing this. So basically, they'll come up with something which
you enjoy it. I don't enjoy it. This is like the worst. I don't want to top someone's story.
No, but it's fun.
Well, let's listen to their stories.
And we expect you to be able to top their stories because you're Bear Grylls. No one would mind being topped by you. So, line one, Ellie, hi.
Hi.
Okay, what's your go-to story, Ellie?
I got bitten by a tiger.
Where?
Whoa.
Well, basically, when I was 14, I went on a trip to Thailand with my brother and dad. And over that period, on my 15th birthday, I went to the tiger temple and got bitten by a baby tiger.
You were okay?
I'm absolutely fine.
At the time, were you okay?
Yeah, I was fine. It wasn't anything major. I didn't have to be hospitalised or anything, so all good.
I guess it's quite cool, though, because it's a tiger. I guess that's definitely why this is your sort of pub story.
I would be telling that one a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Most people don't believe me, but I've actually got like a couple of like tiny scars to prove it, just in case.
Okay, thank you, Ellie. Tiger's Bear.
That is good, Ellie. That's wow. What a great story.
Really good one.
Baby tigers. I was really strongly brought up never to top people's stories, you know.
Sorry.
However, I have been bitten by a lot of things over the years, from some pretty nasty snakes, chased by a few angry crocodiles, and had a few close encounters with some very big nasty sharks. I suppose on cats, I mean, I have done a thing with lions before, with lion cubs, and I remember, and we were in the African bush, and I was in a pair of shorts, and it was hot, and I had my shirt off, and we were just playing with these things, and I remember they were just being super relaxed, and I remember this big paw going on my chest, and it was just yawning. Ugh. Like, I was lying on the ground, hand on the chest, did a big yawn, and it was like, you know, the five, chink.
Whoa.
hypodermic straight in and then out, and then it carried on. It was fun. But the thing is, Ellie beats mine because hers, she's got scars.
You won that one, Ellie.
Thank you very much.
Against Bear Grylls. Is that pretty cool?
That is so cool. Me and my dad love your show.
Go and tell everyone you know.
Oh, I will.
Love you, bye.
That's a great story. Do you remember when Sir David Attenborough was on the show and he was talking about his animal encounters? Yeah. And he was talking about an encounter with a camel. And he was saying that that was actually one of the more intense experiences. I think this camel decided to sort of kick back a little bit.
Yeah.
And he found that to be one of the more aggressive animal encounters that he'd gone through.
Camels are scary, I think.
Mm. But snake bites are cool, you know. Yeah. I was actually quite pleased when I first got bitten by a snake.
Yeah.
Because I thought, do you know what? There's a great club called the Snake Bite Survivors Club. And ever since I was a kid, it's the only club I've ever... Everyone would go, oh, you want to join this club? All that, I know. All I want to be is in the Snake Bite Survivors Club.
There's a club for that.
Yeah. So,
there's a club for everything, Chris.
I was pretty pleased when, you know, I remember the first emotion when I saw a snake bite my hand was, yes, I'm in the club.
Yeah.
That's not normal, but I like it.
I don't want to join that club.
No, really. Tom in Southampton, hello.
Hello.
All right?
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Just chilling with Bear Grylls like you do on a Friday.
Pretty cool thing to do, isn't it?
Isn't it, yeah. Go on then, hit us with it.
When I was on holiday, I went down a river on an inflatable camp bed because there was no kayaks left.
Wow. I suppose it's improvisation there.
So what you did there, in the absence of any kayaks, was just get a camp bed and go down the river on it.
Yeah, I was camping up in a campsite, so I thought, well, why not wait? So I just sort of chucked in the back of the car, drove up to the end of the river, inflated it, put it on the river and went down using a stick to steer.
Just for fun?
Yeah, there was a few other people I was with and they sort of managed to get kayaks, but there was none left. So I sort of did that and then casually stopped for an ice cream halfway down and carried on the rest of the way.
I mean, obviously, I wouldn't recommend that because it sounds slightly dangerous. But over to you, Bear Grylls.
Thing is, it's a fine line between brave and stupid.
Yes. And what side do you think Tom's on there?
And rather like the river, we're drifting down the wrong, maybe the wrong side of it. Because, as I've learnt over the years, you know, white water is mega dangerous and you only get it wrong once. And there are a lot of people drowning in rivers. So we're always mindful of those. But you survived, which is good. I mean, I've been on a lot of rafts over the years. Probably the most interesting one I did was I made a raft out of a zebra carcass, and I remember floating down this thing down the river and just seeing all the crocs dropping into the bank, and I suddenly realised
oh no,
hold on, I've made a raft out of lunch. You know, that's it was for one of our shows, and actually they never used it in the whole scene. It was in the days where we filmed much more than we ever needed. Now we're like I've got to use every minute. But it never actually made TV in the end, but it was a canoe made out of a zebra carcass that I was really proud of.
I would be. I'd be like, yes. And then you're like, oh, hang on a minute. Okay, one more. Alice, hi.
Hi.
Bear Grylls is here.
I know, amazing.
I know.
Friday.
It's made mine too. Go on then.
So, okay, there was this one time, my friend and I, we got locked in a bank. You know, one of those situations you never think you're going to be in.
Obviously, how did that come about?
Obviously. So this one summer, we decided to get a job when we were back home from uni, cleaning the bank. Great fun, just like one of my friends and I, and all the staff would obviously make sure that we were still there. We had the keys. However, this one time, this guy just left and locked us in, and you can only open a bank from the outside.
Yes.
So it was like, oh my goodness.
So you're locked in a bank. Were there any crocodiles in there?
No, it wasn't quite that scary. It was like, you know, there was cameras following you around.
Yeah.
That was kind of intimidating. But
thing is, Alice, it's still a survival situation, isn't it?
That's it. It's like, have we got food? Have we got water?
Yeah. What did you eat?
We didn't have to eat anything because after 20 minutes, I phoned someone and phoned an ambulance.
Born survivor there.
Oh, phew.
Yeah.
20 minutes, we were rescued, the end.
Well, you know, it was one of those moments, you know, like if we had grandkids there, we'd be like, oh, it's one to tell them kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely still a good one to do in the pub.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, you could have lived off... I thought you were going to say you lived off 50 quid notes or something.
Yeah. Yes.
Wrapped yourself in them for a week.
Yeah,
there was a story the other... Well, it's last year in America that my kids had apparently got locked in a Walmart and survived over the weekend by building shelters out of all this stuff. And
that sounds
and
like
they turned up
promo
on Monday to... Yeah, but actually it wasn't true. But I have been locked in a few things over the years.
What have you been locked in?
Probably the most recent one was when I was filming with the actor Michael B. Jordan, who's a new guy in Creed. And we were down a mine and we'd been climbing our way through this dark mine and trying to find our way out. Eventually found an opening, but it was locked, big barred door. And I had a little bit of plastic explosives on me, just a little kind of, you know, 50p size.
Of course you did.
That's always there for an emergency. I've never used it yet in filming until this point. I thought, you know what, we could do this.
Hang on, you haven't got any on you now.
Always prepared. Always prepared.
Where is it?
No, I haven't.
All right.
and he goes, are you serious? So it was great. You know, we put a little bit, you know, fired it up. And it was a great scene of him just sprinting down this mine, me running behind him. And boom, door opens. He comes out looking totally dishevelled, and he goes, "This is the coolest thing I've ever done in my life."
I just love hearing Bear's stories.
I know. I could. I said this last time, but I could do this all day.
It's almost like you just want to give Bear a word and just hear a story related to it, because there are so many amazing stories.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Alice.
Thank you.
Good to speak to you. Listen, Bear. Best of luck with a million hands with the Scouts. What's the website again?
amillionhands.org.uk. Lots of people doing a little changing lives. Well done, Scouts. Get involved. Check it out.
Also, looking forward to running wild with Bear Grylls and the President of the United States of America at the weekend on Channel 4. Thank you for coming to see us today.
Love you guys. You're the best. Happy Christmas, everyone.
Christmas. Hey.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
Jenny and Bolton's just finished for Christmas. Yes. Also, Moira in Belfast says, today I finished school and in final assembly we had a raffle and I won the 24-inch pizza. So me and my mates, Joe, Maff, Senpai, Ellis and Jack, have just demolished the pizza while listening to you on Radio 1. Please shout us out. Daniel has just pledged his 1 million hours pledge offer He's going to do 20 hours over the course of next year. I've got news on this, by the way. An exciting announcement to make about our 1 million hours project. You know, this is our year-long campaign to get you, the ever-generous Radio 1 listeners, to pledge between us a million hours of our time to people and causes who really, really need it. So this is not about asking for your cash, not about asking you to reach into your pocket. It's just about being kind and being generous and giving some of your time. I know at the moment it's really busy because it's up to Christmas, but you'd have to do it right now. You can do it in the new year. Wouldn't it be nice though if today, maybe it could be your last day of school or college or work before Christmas, wouldn't it be nice to go onto the website, pledge some time, as many hours or as, you know, as much time as you want to do or can do, and just feel I've done a really good thing now before I break up for Christmas.
Yeah, especially if you're a little bit bored right now, just go check it out, the Radio 1 website. And then you're right, you can go home, stuff your face, guilt-free. Know that you've done something really, really, really amazing.
We're just asking for your time, really. We launched this on December the 1st, and we teamed up with charities Age UK to help older people, also Oxfam and Barnardo's and Cancer Research UK to help inspire you to get involved. It's true to say, when we started out 18 days ago, we had absolutely no idea how this would go. Now, this morning, on air, all of the DJs got together and we revealed that in these first few days, there's only a few really, you guys had already pledged 95,000 hours of your precious time. And then Grimmy laid down the challenge this morning of getting that number up to 100,000 hours by the end of the day.
It's typical Grimmy as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, just do more.
So it's kind of a nice round number that would be, wouldn't it? Yeah. The last Friday before Christmas.
1 million hours through BBC Radio 1.
I can tell you that we have smashed it. So far, we've gone over 100,000 already. 100,000 hours. To be precise, 100,145 hours.
Oh, that is so good.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. You lot are amazing. Always amazing. If you've not joined this yet, sign up for it. Join it. You can do the hours whenever you want. You've just got a pledge. You can sign up. Best way to do it is on the website. That'll make sure your hours are counted. So go to the Radio 1 website, or you can pledge on social media for any organisation that you want to help, but you must use the hashtag 1 million hours, and the one is number one, okay? Write it like 1, 2, 3. Hashtag 1 million hours. If you don't use that hashtag, we will not see how much time you've pledged. Thank you for over 100,000 hours of your time so far. And let's continue this 1 million hours into 2016. I know if we all club together, we can do this, definitely.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Annika and Rory on the way back from Newcastle to Lancaster. They're going to hit it pretty hard tonight. Adam in Newcastle and Charlotte, who's coming to Newcastle from Nottingham to celebrate her 25th birthday tonight. Zoe and Tia driving home from Brighton to Cambridge and stuck in rubbish London traffic. That was all-time low in Kids in the Dark. Chris has got a stress on because I've just told him that today is the cut-off point for sending a lot of Christmas presents if you want to get them online.
You're saying by five?
Well, some places are by five. Obviously, you've got the one that rhymes with Bamazon, which goes pretty much up to Christmas. But yeah, you've got... like, it's getting near now. And every day I say this to you, at around about this time, actually, on the show, and you go, blah, 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 there's plenty of time for that. Plenty of time for Christmas shopping. But you were you expecting to get it all online?
Well, I don't really want to go to the shops, so ideally I would like to get it all online, but I don't really know what I should be getting.
Okay.
So I'll think about it over the weekend. I'm sure it'll be fine on Monday.
Right.
This is probably second class, right, today.
Plenty of time.
Is that what it is?
No, I think it's off. A lot of shops, over the weekend anyway, Monday is definitely your last day, depending on where you get it from. Do you know who my favourite person is today?
Who?
The biggest Justin Bieber fan in the world. Have you seen her? She's 22. She's from Worksop. And she's changed her name by Deedpoll to Bieber in the hope that it gets Justin's attention so that they can actually get married for real, because she's been obsessed for 6 years. So she's got five tattoos dedicated to him. owns every song he's ever made, every DVD, perfume, nail polish and makeup item he's ever released or put his name to. And here's the weird bit, sleeps with an actual cardboard cutout, life-size, of Biebs every night in her bed.
Conversation must be pretty realistic, though.
It's just not going to be comfortable, is it? With the sides and that.
There must be so many other Biebers in the world, though. Justin Bieber isn't the only Bieber, right?
I'm not sure it's going to get his attention. Have you ever tried to sleep with a cardboard cutout? It's really hard.
No, you have?
I had one ages ago.
Please don't say it was of yourself.
No, it wasn't myself. Who was it of?
Have you got a cardboard cutout of yourself?
It was a film star. Yeah. No, I haven't. Yeah. I have had one before. That's right. I had one of Bruce Forsyth when I was about to do Strictly.
You slept with that?
I just put it in the bed to see what it would be like. And it's really, really difficult to sleep with. It does
hang
wake
on,
you up.
Hang on. So there's you. You get into bed, snuggle up next to Brucey next to you, the cardboard cutout, Brucey.
Yes.
And that's
just
perfectly
once.
Normal, is
it?
Was
it? A late night. I'd had a party and thought it'd be funny just for a picture.
Well, that's a headline up for grabs if anyone wants it.
I feel I've revealed too much. Anyway, I hope, Gabrielle Newton Bieber, that it gets Justin's attention, because you've done a lot of hard work there.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Mark says, did you do 40 of those when you were in bed with Brucey? Let's not dwell on this, please. It was just one night and just thought it'd be funny. Dan from King's Lynn says, I used to put cardboard cutouts of famous people in windows because I used to work in a cinema and I used to be able to take the cardboard cutouts home. It backfired, though, because I thought someone had broken into my house, then realised it was just a cutout of George Clooney peeking out of my window that I'd put there earlier that day. See, people are weird. Not just me.
Can you get a cardboard cutout of absolutely anyone? That might be a good Christmas present. I'm just thinking on my feet here.
Go for it.
Is that something my girlfriend would like?
No, what, of you? Or me? Maybe one of me.
What? No.
She'd love that.
Do you think she would like a cardboard cutout of me, honestly?
Of you? No. Of me? Yes.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
This is
BBC Radio 1.
Scott Mills to 4. Hello.
Hello, it's Nathan Roberts.
Hello, Nathan Roberts. What's going on?
Well, you're talking about cardboard cutouts, I believe.
Yes, I did have one of Bruce Forsyth a while ago, and you'd be surprised how many people have actually got them in their house, cardboard cutouts of famouses. Yeah, go on.
Well, I bought my sister for her birthday an Edward Cullen cardboard cutout.
Off of Twilight.
Robert Pattinson.
Off of Twilight. That's it. Yeah.
Was she impressed by that?
At the time, yeah, she was over the moon at the time.
What does she do with it? Did she ever sleep with it one night like I did?
Actually, it's at the foot of her bed. Is that creepy? I think so.
Still now?
Still now, to this day.
What does she use it for now, though? Obviously, the novelty's really worn off.
Just, you know, as an ornament, really. It's something nice to stare at night.
That's the thing. Once you go off these famouses, what are you going to do with it? It's just there in your house, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just to start the fire now. It's just there to start the fire.
Love you, Nathan!
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Good afternoon, Joe, on text, who says, is this the longest you've gone without a Christmas song? Or do you mean ever, or at this current time of year? It actually has been an hour. And that's quite a long time for me, because, you know, I like to go baubles deep when I can.
But, I mean, from next week, it must be getting ridiculous, right?
All going to be on next week. Right, we did promise Feliz Navidad Friday, where we played the most popular Spanish Christmas song of all time.
Yeah.
And just gets people well up for it, because it's Friday. And obviously next Friday is Christmas Day, and I'm going to be doing Radio 1 Breakfast Show, so I can play it then as well. Mm-hmm. So we can fit in two Feliz Navidad Fridays, one now and one on the actual Christmas Day.
Oh, wow. So next time you'll be hearing this will be Christmas Day?
Yes.
This is good.
I might play it, obviously, a bit next week, because we just need to get into it. OK, sing along.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Let us know what you're doing, 81199.
Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad.
Hang on, you make it sound like Bumble Air Wednesday. Is this what we do?
Feliz
do we do shout-outs throughout this? All right.
Hello.
Sorry.
Feliz Navidad.
I didn't know you were off last week.
I was ill.
I know. Ben from Bridgenda's first on. He said yes to Feliz Navidad. Hello.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Mel says, I love this. Mark in Cumbria.
I want to wish you a Merry
Cara
Christmas.
From Aberdeen. School's finished early. Buses are late.
Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom.
Any Anybody else? Again.
Feliz Navidad.
Where are you? Where are you?
Feliz Navidad.
Grant in Edinburgh has finished work early, having a little Spanish dance in the van. Ross in Inverness delivering parcels. Luke from Ashford. Isabel in Devon had a party last night, currently sinking into the sofa with a mother of all hangovers.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Check this guy out, Scott.
Yeah.
Max chopping firewood.
Oh,
that must feel good to this song.
That's festive.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
Danny Robertson, hello.
Feliz Navidad.
Jack and Ben, Feliz Navidading on the M25. Is that what we're doing now?
I guess.
Feliz Navidad.
Classic, this one, says Alice in Kent, listening at work. Danielle in Blackpool, stuck in traffic. This is getting me in the Christmas spirit. Becky from Market Harborough, finished work early for my Christmas party tonight, going home to get ready. And Simon from Halifax is driving home for Christmas.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
If you don't get to hear the whole show, I know you can't listen like every day between 1 and 4. So what we do is we put all the best bits on the Scott Mills Daily podcast. Loads of good stuff this week. If you maybe get to hear, I don't know, the last hour of the show because of school or college or whatever, lots of good stuff happens before 3. Get online and get the podcast from the Radio 1 website. It will cost you nothing. On Monday, Chris made our annual call to dial a carol at the University of Illinois. You call them up and they will sing for you. Just a random number you can call and the students will sing you a festive hit.
I have to say no, 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 sir.
If I move in.
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
No sense in hurting my pride.
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out. Oh, but it's cold
outside. Yes! So good. Oh, that was... Do you know what? That was my favourite.
I'm glad.
How many girls was that? 3 girls?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. You just ring them anytime. On Tuesday, we did Extreme Innuendo Bingo. Chris laid on his back and our very own giggling elf fed him a selection of gravy, festive custard, which still sounds disgusting because what's in festive custard?
What makes it festive?
I know. And mulled wine. Firstly, we're going over to BBC One's The Apprentice. Now, Lord Sugar has years and years of experience, but it is good to know that there are still some things he's yet to achieve. Ready?
Mm-hmm. I've been around for a long time, you know. I've been in business for nearly 50 years, OK? And, of course, I've come across a lot of Garys. I've come across a lot of Richards also. And haven't come across many Charlenes.
Oh, it's my eye. How's that happened?
Wednesday was relationship transfer deadline day. It's too cruel to dump someone over Christmas, so we closed the window for transfers at 3 p.m. Our crack team included The Vamps, Joe Sugg, Chris, Cammy, Kamara, and Ollie Mers as our eye in the sky in a hot air balloon. Ollie Mers in the love balloon, hello!
Hey, Scotty!
What's your current relationship status, Ollie Mers?
I'm still in my basket.
Right, no more. So you're free of this. You don't need to break up with anyone this Christmas.
No, I'm a single Pringle ready to mingle!
There we are, that's Ollie Mers there, in a hot air balloon, of course. And yesterday, Russell Howard played Innuendo Bingo with our favourite clips from 2015. Now we're going over to BBC Two and A Cook Abroad. Chef Rachel Koo is in the jungle and she's willing to do pretty much anything to win over the locals.
You couldn't get more sustainable than this.
Before I leave, the village headman is determined to see if I can shoot his blowpipe.
Video of that's on Radio 1 YouTube for Russell Howard yesterday. And today, Bear Grylls joined us with so many amazing outdoor stories, including what it was like working and doing a show with the actual president, Barack Obama.
How did you leave it with him? Do you stay in touch, or is it just something that you leave?
Do you know,
it's
amazing. Because at the end he said, first of all, I got him to sign something for Shara, my wife. And the only thing I could find was a little Obama figurine of him in his underpants, bottle opener.
What?
It was a bottle opener from the airport. And I thought, oh, God, I'm going to get... By this stage, we haven't quite a laugh yet. And he was laughing. He's going, I must say this is a bit dated. I think the presidency's taken its toll since then. Yeah.
But I look much younger on this bottle opener. He got Barack Obama to sign a bottle opener of him with his pants, just his pants on.
Incredible.
Which he'd found at the airport. That is gold. Download all of that for free from the Radio 1 website.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Okay, Dev's here. Hi, Dev.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, hello.
Hello there.
So I have my headphones turned out. Down, rather.
Down. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks. You know, I just realised this is the first time I've seen you since the Christmas party the other day, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember what I said to you on the way out?
What did you say?
I just sort of grabbed you and I went, you're a beautiful man, Scott.
Oh, yeah.
And then I said...
Did he hit you with his umbrella?
Yeah, did I? I hit myself with my umbrella. I was carrying a golf umbrella around with me all night for no particular reason.
No, do you remember what I said to you?
Well, you're making me paranoid.
It was
now.
A little bit odd.
What did you say?
We were just so full of Christmas cheer.
Were we?
I think I said something along the lines of, if I was the other way inclined, you'd be in trouble.
Oh, yes! Hang on. This is coming back to me now. Lol. Anyway, let's move on straight away to Real or No Real with Dev. He's on at four today doing the official chart.
One of the children in the choir at the end of Wizard's festive hit I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day was Foo Fighters frontman Dave Grohl.
Whoa.
You're trying to picture it now, aren't you?
Yeah.
That choir.
Now, that Wizard song I think was made in, 72 or 73? And the kids sound like this.
I mean, he would obviously have a higher register at that point.
Yeah.
He was very young then. 73, this was made.
I thought you were doing the maths there and saying he would now be 73, which will obviously mean that is no real.
It was made in 73.
I feel like, do you remember those programs they used to have on where it would be like before they were famous and you'd see like Johnny Depp in a cornflakes advert or something?
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen this clip in one of those shows.
How old is Dave Grohl? And how old would that make Dave Grohl? Because how old are those kids then? What, six?
Dave Grohl's got to be mid to late 40s, maybe.
73.
Am I being generous?
Hold on, 73. So 2003. So 40 years onto that takes it to...
Yeah. Are we allowed to...
It'll be 42
years. Are we
allowed
to see a clip?
42 years. That would make Dave Grohl.
So that means he's about 50, at least 50.
No. The song was 42. The kids would have been 6 or 7 years old, right?
Okay, so it could work.
So close to 50. I think the maths are suggesting this might be real.
I really like how you've worked it out, but because I've not done that working out, I don't want to take any credit for it. So I'm going to say no real.
But imagine if it turns out Dave Grohl's singing. I mean, you will never hear that song the same way again.
Yeah,
I can just imagine a bearded child. Like, that's what I'm imagining here. Do you know what I mean? Like, Dave Grohl beard.
He's 46, by the way.
Oh, okay.
46. Okay, fine. So it could work. I'm going to go real.
Nah, I'm saying no real.
One is no real.
No, made up.
That's not as good.
But what a great fact if it was real.
People are going to get that one confused in future.
Yeah, they are. I'm so disappointed that's not real. And next.
Jamie Oliver walked his daughters to school this morning dressed as a stormtrooper.
Oh, what a cool dad. Oh, no.
What do you reckon it's like having a really famous dad?
Weird. Well, I reckon weird.
Because you'll get an age where kids won't care. Like, kids in, nursery and primary school, they don't care that your dad's a chef on telly, do they?
Well, we had Bear Grylls in earlier, and he brought his kids, and they're kind of at the age where they don't really get it.
So they're not really bothered, are they?
They're quite young, so they're don't really care that my dad's
Yeah. dad. And Bear was talking all about meeting Barack Obama and doing the show with him, and... I didn't think his child was that fast.
No, see, if you were a little kid and your dad's like Mr. Tumble or something like that, then I can see how kids would get excited about it, or a football player. But if you're a chef or you're a survival expert on telly, little kids, they don't really care, do they?
No.
They're well over it.
Doesn't register.
People would have wanted loads of pictures with him just because he was dressed as a stormtrooper,
yeah.
right? But that's amazing because they've got a picture with a stormtrooper, but you never question who's inside there, do you?
I wonder how old his kids are, because it could be at the stage where they would be really embarrassed on that school walk earlier.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Do you reckon they tried to talk him out of it before? I'm like, please, Dad.
Please don't, Dad. Just come anything but this. Real.
I think it's cool. I think real.
Yeah, I can see Jamie Oliver doing that. Big Star Wars fan. Real?
That one is real.
Yes!
Jamie Oliver posted a photo of himself dressed as a stormtrooper with the caption, "Embarrassing Dad."
Yeah, his daughters are... What, are they 12 and 13? Yeah, that's definitely embarrassing.
They're embarrassed, yeah. And finally...
You can now get socks, which pause the film you're watching if you fall asleep.
Finally!
It's what we've all been waiting for.
This is amazing.
Right, so one, you've got to wear the socks in bed, which is weird. And two, why? Why? I don't understand the socks thing.
Well, if you're like me, Chris, and the ninth time just brings on quite a lot of dark thoughts in general. You don't want to be alone in the dark with your own thoughts. You need something on in the background to just sort of drown it out a little bit. I fall asleep with the telly on almost every night.
In socks?
In socks, preferably. Sometimes I put, you know, the sleep timer on. That's like my thing. Set the sleep timer for like 30 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever. So this would be perfect for me.
Yeah, it would actually.
But it pauses the film. So I don't really understand how. Oh. If you fall asleep.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, how do they know? They're magic socks.
Is that, or you've got to keep your feet perfectly still when you're watching the TV? So if you move your feet slightly, it's gonna pause itself.
Do they still sell those? The magic socks. They were all the rage in the 90s, weren't they? And they had little bits on the bottom. And then you had magic gloves as well, which means you can pick up a ceramic vase and not drop it.
All the rage.
What do you mean? So what could you do with the socks in the past?
Well, for a kid, they were rubbish because anytime you get somebody with laminate flooring, you want to do the opposite. You want to slide around on it. But what magic socks allowed you to do was to walk across laminate flooring and you wouldn't slip. It's amazing.
What's magic work? Could you walk up walls?
Nah.
No. No. Nah. Wasn't that magic?
There's just nothing magic about
just
that,
just
is it?
Horizontal just... surfaces. Yeah.
Robin.
Are there socks that now pause the film you're watching?
Can you walk on walls?
I'm saying like, we've advanced things more than to call something magic where it just stops sliding around.
Excuse me, shopkeep. I was going to buy these magic socks, but can you walk up walls with them? No, rubbish!
My mum told me she bought me some magic socks, I wouldn't think the only magic they could do is stop me sliding. Nothing magical about it at all. That's like festive custard. Do you know what I mean? It's like when you put something in front, a descriptive word which jazzes it up, and it's a complete lie.
Yeah. You're right. We were sold a dream.
Do these socks exist then that pause the film you've been watching if you fall asleep?
I really want them to. And if you're listening, Mum, I'd like that for Christmas, please. Yes.
I don't understand this invention, so I'm just going to say no real.
That one is real.
Yes!
Okay. Now, here's the thing. You do have to knit them yourselves.
Hello.
But
no, knitting's cool now.
Instructions
come back.
Instructions have been posted online by the streaming service that rhymes with Wetflix. And you also, before you make them, have to know how to wire electronics. So if you can knit and you can wire electronics, then you are on. At the end of that round of Real or No Real,
I got 10, Dev got 30. Well done, Dev.
Yeah.
All right, Dev, and we'll see you in a minute for the charts. Guys. Those are your Friday Best Bits, back on Monday at 1 p.m. on BBC Radio 1.
Scott Mills. BBC Radio 1.